You are on the record.
Thank you.
10:04.
Good morning, everybody. I'd like to call today's meeting to order, August 10th. I'm sorry, September. I'm looking at meetings. So, Corinne, would you please call the board members?
Mr. Wilkin.
Here.
Deputy Commissioner Paraday. Mr. Kennedy.
Here.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett.
Here.
Ms. Brown.
Here.
Mr. Dick.
Here.
Mr. Pruse.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. Would you continue with our staff and public?
Mr. Paraday's here.
Thank you.
What an entrance. Welcome, Brent.
Thank you.
You're going to need to mute your conference line at your end and call in the phone line there, Deputy Commissioner Paraday. Otherwise, we'll lose our recording.
Okay, I am a non-techie person. What did you just tell me?
This is a test.
You're on.
I'm already failing. Mute this one.
No.
The remote to your left.
Okay, yeah, you mute that one.
There you go. There should be like a red, halfway down the remote, there should be like red or orange mute button.
There you go. You got that. So now you got to call in on the conference line. Are you with us, Deputy Commissioner Paraday?
I am online, I think.
All right.
All right, we'll give this a shot.
Maybe you can just be a good listener.
Yeah, for once.
That's not happening.
Okay, we'll start here at the table for...
John Springsteen, Ada.
Carson Rodney, Ada.
Mark Davis, Ada.
Jim Hemsath, Ada. Sorry.
Alan Bailey, Petroleum News.
Lori Sunder, Ada.
Mark Gardner, PFM.
Jean Terrio, Ada.
Sydney Nelson, Accutize.
Back row.
Terry Webster, AEA. Deanna Cruz. Linda Sen, Ada.
Amy Sobeck, Ada.
Bill Phelan, Ada.
Sue Wolf, Northwest Bank.
Tom Harrison, Ada.
Sherry Peterson, Ada. Randy Appleby, Ada.
Chris Anderson, Ada.
Jerry Judea, Department of Law.
Craig Kempinen, Ada. Do we have public on the phone?
Yes.
Okay, can you identify yourself,
Dan
please?
Dan Barofsky, KUAC Fairbanks.
Who was that?
Dan Barofsky with KUAC Public Radio in Fairbanks.
And Patrice Lee, citizen.
Rebecca Logan with the Alliance.
Bill Stewart with the Interior Gas Utility.
And Truth Deck with the Interior Gas Utility.
Who was that?
David Truth Deck, Interior Gas Utility.
Any other public?
This is Jeff Stepp in the Fairbanks North Star Borough Mayor's Office.
Dan Doherty with Theory.
Kevin Baird, Fairbanks Daily News Miner.
Any other public? Sounds like you got a full house. There we go.
Thank you, Fred. Item number four on our agenda is the agenda approval.
Oh.
Second.
Any additions, deletions, John? Everything still on track? All right. Hearing none, will the agenda approved? Item number five on our agenda is public comments. Remind everybody to, if you are going to make a comment to the ADA board, please limit to 3 minutes. And for the record, state your name and affiliation again. I will start in the conference room. Is anybody in the conference room wishing to make a public comment? I don't see anybody. Anybody online wishing to make a public comment? Anybody online?
This is Joe Stewart. This is Jomo Stewart with the Interior Gas Utility, if I may, sir.
Go ahead, Jomo.
Hi, sir. Recognizing there are a couple of items on the agenda of which the IGU has interest and the community has interest, but not knowing if I'd be able to make any further statement closer to those items on the agenda, just wanted to put on record, first of all, regarding the HB 105 resolution, of course, the IGU and the community would like to say thank you. We really appreciate that we've reached this point in the process. Now, as a specific comment regarding the materials, we weren't able to actually review the active documents. We did get to review the drafts of the documents, but they were posted at a time when simply there just wasn't time before this meeting to fully review them. However, again, we did review the draft documents, and then they're pretty close. Just regarding those documents, you know, we've noticed that there are some differences between the information that's here and our own modeling and estimates. Not a wide deviation, just some differences. An example would be the apparent cost to operate the distribution, storage, and vaporization. Recognizing that that can be developed further, as an example, the IGU would simply want to know that that kind of refinement will still be an option after today's ADA board action. Because what's important at this point is maintaining a certain, at least some level of flexibility, recognizing that as the circumstance or as the situation evolves, things do change, and having the flexibility to be able to react to those changing circumstances for the success of the project will be important. But specifically regarding the HB 105 resolution, we do believe that the gas contract that has been achieved does underpin an HB 105 plan, and we do support passage of the HB 105 resolution. Regarding the second resolution regarding IGU expenses, I simply wanted to thank the board for having that item on the agenda as well as for carrying through with resolution of that past issue. We really do appreciate it. We do notice that it appears to be a not-to-exceed authorization, and so we will just want to be able to have conversations with yourselves and the executive director to make sure that we put in a dollar figure that allows us to cover all the costs for all the actions that we're going to want to be taking. Again, we've been doing utility integration planning, and hopefully we'll be moving forward soon with actual utility integration. So we just want to make sure that we have the funds available to go ahead and carry forward on that effort. So again, thank you very much on both fronts, from the IGU and the community to ADA and the ADA board. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you, Jomo. And my assumption is that executive staff will be in daily contact with you as this works through the process. I would also like to make sure on the record that Mr. Stewart was referring to Resolution G17-13 and G17-14. Anybody else online permission to make a public comment? Anybody else online? Hearing none, I will close the public comment period. Next up is item number 6, prior minutes for August 10th, 2007. Need a motion?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to approve those minutes that are in our packet.
Second?
Second.
All right, so everybody had a chance to review it. And Gary?
Mr. Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent that the item number 2 roll call have an additional sentence that shows that Member Wilkin was excused for medical, and I repeat, medical reasons. Thank you.
Any objections? No. And then we'll get those incorporated in those minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. And let's see, and then item number 7 is new business. We'll start with item A, loan resolution number L17-04, EHESE Investments LLC. John?
Yeah, item 7A, loan resolution L17-04 regards the purchase by the authority of participation in a loan to EHESE Investments LLC. The loan is for long-term financing for the purchase of an existing office warehouse project located at 3300-3400 Arctic Boulevard in Anchorage. The dollar amount of ADA's participation is $5,433,750. At this time, I ask Chris Anderson to present.
Hi, Chris.
Hi. The term on ADA's portion of this loan, as John indicated, is $5,433,750, and we'd be granting a term of 22 and a half years. North Rim would be at 10 years. We would be at a fixed rate there at a three-year variable. The guarantors on this loan are Brian and Young Choi, and their adult children, Theron, Karen, and Aaron, and also Universal Financing Corporation. The project is Midtown Business Center. It's an 85,494-square-foot office warehouse building located in Anchorage off of Arctic Boulevard. The borrower will benefit by using a fixed loan amount, and there will be four permanent jobs that will be supported. EHESC Investment is managed by Brian Choi. Mr. Choi is an experienced commercial property investor with ownership interests in several Anchorage properties. We would take a first deed of trust on the property, which includes an assignment of rents and UCC filing on the fixtures. The property was appraised by Mr. Wayne, Greg Wayne of North Pacific Advisors at $8,050,000 on a lease fee value basis. That is a 75% loan to value, which with projected net income gives a 1.67 to 1 debt service coverage. We listed a committed loan here under related debt. This particular transaction has not funded as of yet, but it has been approved and committed by ADA in the amount of $2,193,750 to Universal Financing Corporation, which is one of the guarantors here. That particular loan will also be guaranteed by EHESC Investment. So subject to this loan, this subject loan being approved, ADA's exposure would be $7,627,500. To the borrowing entity. There were no current environmental issues noted. The strengths that we saw in the transactions were again the 1.67 debt service coverage. Majority of the leases are seasoned. This is a multi-tenanted property with well-established tenants, and there's strong outside financial support provided by Brian and Young Choi. Perceived weaknesses could be that USC and EHESC have minimal financial liquidity, but that's typically by design. The adult children of Mr. Choi, Mr. and Mrs. Choi, have nominal wealth outside of the interest in the borrowing entity, but we felt that both of these conditions are offset by the strong financial backing of Brian and Young Choi. In regards to diversification, June 30th numbers had ADA at 9.5% of its total statewide portfolio secured by office warehouse, and that would increase to 10.9%. And for participated loans within the Anchorage region, we're at 15.4%. And with this loan, that would increase to 18%. So staff does recommend this credit for approval, and we open to any questions.
Thank you. Gary?
Yeah. What is the nature of the business that the tenants are in? What types of businesses rent?
There are no what I would call anchor tenants. You know, because this is a multiple tenanted building. You've got Alaska Premier Health, Swamsea, Board of Realtors, Arctic Care Services, several private parties, Borealis Massage, Alaska Public Association, Disability Law, Conoco Minolta, Profit Parts Alaska, Arctic Gymnastics. There's about 20.
So there's no concentration of any type of business?
No.
Any questions? Chris, I have one question relevant to this property, but more sort of appraisal.
Okay.
What are we seeing? Are any changes in the what the appraisals are coming in on, what's the real estate market doing, and specifically South Central. I noticed something in the dispatch news that houses kind of went down just a little bit. What are you seeing on the commercial side?
On the commercial side, it's still stable. It's still fairly stable. I do think that in negotiations between landlord and lessees that they're having to be a little more creative, because landlords obviously want to keep their lessees as tenants. And so I think they're, it's being more weighted towards tenants these days. But again, if you can keep the underlying financing stable and at a low rate, it gives them the opportunity to keep their leases within reason to market. So, I know there's a lot in the news about, jobs leaving Alaska, and that, that there's been some deterioration in the housing, but the commercial side of it still seems stable.
Vacancy rates?
Market vacancy with office warehouse is in the, 4 to 6% range. That's a healthy percentage. And so far as delinquencies from where we sit, I mean, it just has not changed. We keep our ears open for problems. Often lenders will talk to you before a delinquency even hits, that they're having issues with a property owner. But we have not seen those conversations taking place. So all real estate markets have cycles. And if the situation at the state level continues on a long-term basis, you probably see some deterioration, but it simply hasn't hit the numbers yet.
Well, thank you. So,
Chairman,
go ahead.
He's got an echo.
So, what does that mean? Can we get someone to address that for Fred?
I'm going to try and ask my question and get to you.
Okay.
Two questions. I probably missed it, Chris, but when it says strong outside financial support, if it's outside, is it within reach of the collateral?
If it's outside, is it within reach of the collateral?
Is it outside the collateral?
Yeah. By outside, I'm talking about the financial strength of the guarantors. And so if you're asking if that is tied to this loan and the collateral, the answer would be yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Second question. In the list of businesses,
I couldn't even guess at that one.
In a list of businesses. Yes.
I heard you mention a massage park.
A massage.
I think Chris knows sign language.
Has it had any activity in regards to human trafficking?
Human trafficking.
Massage parlor. He heard massage and said massage parlor.
Yep, that too.
I want to clarify the business.
Borealis massage therapy. Okay. Was the tenant.
Okay. Thank you.
Are we waiting on Fred?
I'm okay with it as a legitimate business, but massage parlors and anchors are up front for traffic in some cases.
Yeah, I believe this is a legitimate business, Fred.
Thank you.
Yeah, they had a 7-year lease, so. It's not monthly. It's not a month-to-month lease.
Any further questions from the board? All right, if someone would put it on the table for us.
Chairman, I'll move resolution number L17-4.
Second. Second. Any further discussion or questions before I call for the question? And Quinn, would you pull the board?
Mr. Wilkin.
Aye.
Deputy Commissioner Paradis.
Aye.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett.
Yes.
Ms. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Dick.
Yes.
Mr. Proust.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, we have resolution G17-15, facility capital project. On.
Item 7B, resolution G17-15, regards facility capital projects for Ada's office building at 813 West Northern Lights Boulevard in Anchorage. Items covered in this request are outside general operating and maintenance expenses and are more capital in nature, including items such as replacing compromised or leaking windows, repairing foundation leaks, and repairing the boiler system. The amount requested annually is $250,000. Any unused amount would expire at the end of the fiscal year. If approved, staff shall submit updates upon request to the board, as well as an annual report to the board identifying work completed and expenditures. And I'd like to invite Tom Erickson to the table to be able to answer questions.
Welcome, Tom.
Thank you.
So, Tom, I noticed one time when I showed up to visit John, there was a sprinkler system going in a third floor that wasn't anticipated as far as water leaks. So was this related to that, where you had the... I mean, there was fans and...
Mr. Chair, yeah. That had to do with the with the roof replacement. There was a problem where during the replacement, one of some debris clogged some of the drainage, and that caused the water to come inside the building rather than to drain out of the building. So that was the... That was the issue that we had to resolve, and that was covered by the contractor.
Okay. Well, would you mind explaining then what kind of projects you're talking about for the 250?
These are unanticipated where they become urgent, non-urgent, that are not covered under G15-22. These are things where like the sidewalk needs to be replaced so that we can seal it for the so we don't have water leaks next spring. Also, there's a need to replace the access to the penthouse so that we can enclose it, so that when we open up the door, we have to leave it open so that we can close it in and it doesn't have air coming through the third floor or noise and disruptions.
Okay. So they're talking about a HVAC and boiler system. What shape is that in, both of those systems?
Well, the boiler system is approaching the end of its life. I think it is due to be replaced within 5 years. Currently, we had a problem with the boiler breaking down. We had a leak in it this summer. Fortunately, it was the summer. And we had to tear it down to find out if the boiler itself is cracked or if it was a leak, and we determined that it can be repaired and we didn't have to replace the boiler. HVAC is currently being replaced. The direct controls are being done, and it's a pretty cool system right now for us where we can start to control some of the air and some of the heating and stuff to the offices. So it's becoming a little bit more sophisticated for an old building, but we can do some of them.
Okay. Questions?
Russell? Mr. Chairman, John, is there not an existing expenditure authority that comes with your position?
And not for these types of capital projects. The history has been we would come to the ADA board with each discrete request for, say, $14,000 for this item or things of that nature. And so this request is around permissions for up to this amount, up to $250,000 in a given year to address urgent building issues without coming to the board with each request. But we would be providing reporting to the board about the urgent projects taken care of through this.
So, out of curiosity, other ADA assets, do the operations of those, M&O, is that a responsibility of the tenant, or do you get requests from time to time that you've got to do, repairs to something?
Yeah, and it's
how's that handled?
Certainly, it's case by case where ADA, given its lean staffing, typically manages through contract. And operations and maintenance is handled by the other party, and we have a number of cases where there is a reserve that is prepared and that handles these types of incremental capital expenses.
So the example would be the leaky roof at the FedEx hangar. Obviously,
yes.
FedEx isn't going to pay for that.
Yes.
So ADA pays for that, but
yes.
That doesn't come before the board.
Yes, it's part and parcel to the agreement where there's a reserve that's maintained to keep the FedEx facility in good order.
I guess my comment would be I would think we would do the same thing with the building that you're in.
Yeah, I agree, Chair. Yes.
Dan? Yeah, I'm going to speak in favor of the resolution that's going to come before us. I like the $250,000 amount. I think it's a good time to say frugal. I think it was over a year ago we saw a list of multi-$1 million possibility of improvements to our building here. And so I'm real pleased that you're bringing to your board critical items. It must be done. So thank you.
Thank you,
Dan. Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead, Fred.
John, a quick question. Are there security upgrades?
Are there security
being contemplated?
Through the chair to Debt Commission Parity, largely the upgrades for security have taken place and have been far implemented.
The security, we do have security guard that is currently on site during business hours.
Oh, we're discussing capital projects.
Okay.
You put the fence up.
Lighting improvements.
And have you noticed a difference? Has it helped?
Yes. It has decreased the cross-property traffic, and most traffic is moving around the perimeter. We still have occasion where folks will be interested in some of the cars on the premise. So in these times, we have some extra security that takes a look, walks our parking lots, and manages during our kind of the heavily trafficked hours to keep folks behaving properly when they're on the premise.
Gary,
I'd like to throw an idea out, and John and Tom have your, and of course, the board's thoughts. I'd like to look at Section 3, and that has to do with the sunset. So on June 30th, whatever's left in the fund reverts to the revolving fund as the way it's set up. I wonder if we'd think about creating a fund that would be, for want of a better word, a capital reserve fund, so that on June 30th, if there's anything left of this $250,000 appropriation, it gets swept into a capital reserve fund for future use. So in my mind, what does this do? It does two things. I mean, I've seen it many times. We all have. And it's just human nature, from school boards to assemblies to state agencies. You get into a use-it-or-lose-it mentality. And so that wall that really could probably last a few more years gets painted because you're going to lose the money if you don't. So you, everyone's human, and you have a use-it-or-lose-it mentality. It changes the conversation to a use-it-or-save-it for the future mentality. And if you chose to have that sinking fund or that reserve fund, you then have some sort of a cushion for something that may become, in one respect, could be catastrophic and would have to come to the board and need an additional infusion of money that would come out of the revolving fund, whereas that perhaps as that money has accumulated, that could be the cushion before you came back to the revolving fund. So I just throw that out as a way to manage this and to change the thought to money management rather than money spending, so to speak. So I'd just like your thoughts on that, and if it has some merit today, we'll amend it. If it doesn't, we'll throw it out, or we can amend it at a future time. But John and Tom, I appreciate your thoughts on something like that.
Yeah, certainly. I appreciate the thoughts, and I've seen some of the behavior that you mentioned exhibited in other areas. Would welcome the consideration of removing the expiration, but I think it's critical that we maintain the reporting to the board as the to manage the program.
If I may on the idea of a capital reserve, VEDA's revolving fund has all of its receipts, and so what we're asking for today is just a spending authorization of some of those receipts for certain types of expenditures. Anything, but the cash isn't really going to go anywhere. It's going to stay in the revolving fund. So it's just the spending authorization that we're looking for today. So the use it or lose it mentality is not like if we don't spend it, we're going to have to give it to somebody. It'll stay in the revolving fund and be used for revolving fund purposes. So I just wanted to make that clarification on how the numbers work.
But I would suggest that as the Longarius thought process here, as future boards and future employees, whatnot. If you build up a reserve account, then it's from a financial reporting standpoint. If it's already put in the system and reserved, then you don't have one big hit during the year that you have to do a big capital program. So you're it's like you're pre-spending on your financial statement. Wouldn't that benefit that instead of having a 1 year where you had $1 million hit or expenditure for a new roof, let's say, and in over 3 or 4 years you've actually built up $200,000 or $600,000 in this reserve account?
Actually, the expenditure is going to hit in the financial statement year that we actually pay that cost. So reserving the funds wouldn't.
You wouldn't put that in a liability, on the liability side?
No, we wouldn't have a liability until we actually spent the money and had the services more incurred. So we would record those expenditures when the services were provided. So in the year that we had the roof replacement, the only thing, and probably this, it wouldn't even meet the criteria to restrict the cash, because usually the restrictions have to be external to your operations, and this would be an internal restriction. So I'm not sure that it would have any financial statement impact to set up that reserve.
Well, if it's in the revolving fund now and it's just a matter of writing a check, why then do you need this other than some sort of moral guideline that you won't go above $250,000?
It's just spending authorization. Our operating budget is subject to the Executive Budget Act, so the legislature authorizes our operating expenses, but the board authorizes our capital expenses. So it's just it's an authorization. Someone has to give us the authorization to spend those funds, and so we look to the board for those capital expenditures.
So if you, on June 30th, if you have $50,000 you haven't spent out of this authorization, it just remains in the revolving fund. You haven't exercised spending authority.
Yep, we wouldn't have to give those funds to anyone. It would just stay and the revolving fund. And so what we're talking about today really is just an authorization from the board to allow us to spend the funds where we need to.
So you have two options. I've drafted the incentive board for clients. And the way you have it now is it's in the revolving fund, and the limit is $250 every year. Can't go beyond that. If we don't spend all the money, you have an option of saying that increases the spending amount granted to the executive director. So if you save $50, which Wilfred was saying, next year it would be $300,000. And what that would do, what the chair was saying, is that if you had something that really needed to be done, but it was within the limit as it builds up, you could do it without coming back to the board. That's a board decision. Do you want us to come back for every $250, or do you want it to slowly build up so we've got increasing authorization? It doesn't really affect the amount of money, and Brenda's right, it's an internal transfer under GASB, so it won't be reported. Is that clarified?
So if at the end of FY18 there's $50,000, then the authority goes up to $300,000 and continues to build as long as you have a dollar left on June 30th of each fiscal year. Is that what I'm hearing?
You could do it that way.
Yes, if you remove the expiration. Yes.
Yeah, that wouldn't affect Brenda's accounting, and that would be just a board decision, however you want to do it.
So if we did that, would we then, let's just say it builds 5 years from now, it's got $700,000.
Mm-hmm.
So would the board then have to approve funding out of that? No, it would just be up to $700,000.
It would have to be within the scope of the resolution for these capital necessary is defined pretty carefully. We just can't, find the furniture with it.
So that would... Oh, I'm sorry.
And you'd have an annual report of what's going on and what the balance is.
Absolutely.
Annual report and at the discretion of the board. So
right.
The board wants an ad hoc.
And another modification you could make was that if there's an expenditure... over, say, $50,000 for one item, an email would go out to all the board members to say that we've had this major capital expense. So you're fully informed.
So that would rub the edges off of the spend or save. That would help the spend or save argument. And then the other argument, it would provide the cushion in case something happened. I don't know. I like that. It's up to the board.
Anyway, I just wanted to provide some clarification because we were taught, it's really not a matter of the money going away from the revolving fund, but it is a matter of authorization.
So, comment from board members on a theoretical amendment to this resolution?
Well, I would comment that this is being a capital expenditure and an authorization that I am totally comfortable with removing the time frame from it. And having the ongoing authorization for it.
All right.
So, any further questions of Tom before I move for the put the resolution on the table? None. All right. So, someone put it on the table for me.
Mr. Chairman, I would move G17-15.
Second here.
Any proposed amendments?
Mr. Chairman, I could use some help rather than just taking Section 3 and eliminating it. John, could you give us some words?
Oh, certainly. Through the chair, I think simply striking, and I'll look to Jerry Judet in a moment, striking the second sentence of Section 3, that fiscal year authorizations will expire at the end of the fiscal year, would achieve the objective.
Hi, Jerry.
Hello. I think you need to have some statement that it accumulates. That's the intent. And I wasn't sure from Deputy Commissioner Burnett's comment whether he was okay with that or not.
Yeah.
You are okay.
Yeah. What accumulates is the authorization rather than a set amount because it's all in the revolving fund. So what you could say is the authorization is that...
Will accumulate from year to year?
For non-expended funds, will increase the authorization to the executive director. And I must defer to Jerry for the exact language.
Unexpended
funds.
Do you folks want to massage that amendment and handle it after our executive session? Are you okay?
I think the board could vote for amendment in principle and trust our general draft. Okay.
I'll second his amendment. His concept, Gary's sick conceptual amendment.
I'm making a conceptual amendment that the executive director is now writing. Having to do with cumulative over fiscal year.
Any objections to adding the amendment onto the resolutions?
None here.
All right.
Mr. Chair, if you don't mind, though, just ensuring that when Jerry's kind of modifying the language, that it does have something in there reflecting the fact that there will be annual reporting to the board.
I think that's something on the right agenda. So, Kryn, could you pull the board, please?
Mr. Wilkin.
Aye.
Deputy Commissioner Paradis.
Aye.
Mr. Kennedy.
Here.
Yep. Yes.
Here.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett.
Yes.
Ms. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Dick.
Yes.
Mr. Pruitt.
Here.
Mr. Carey.
Thank you. We're going to have to quote Dan from now on.
I'm awake.
Item number C on our agenda is moving into executive session, and I will entertain a motion for that.
Chairman, I move that the board enter an executive session to discuss confidential and financial information related to the Interior Energy Project and Mustang Operations.
Second.
No, exactly. Kryn, what are we doing? Are we here?
We can stay here. I can put these phones on mute, and we can get Deputy Commissioner unmute his end. And I think the talking will be easier without the conference line.
Okay.
Him going through the conference line.
All right. So our IT gentleman's here.
Evelyn?
Yes. Which is not a bad thing, actually.
So he muted
Oh, wait, that's not as muted, Fred.
Deputy Commissioner Perry, can you unmute your end?
So just so everybody knows, I would assume...
And you can hang up the phone.
This is going to take less than an hour.
Hang up your phone and we can talk back and
forth. Those on the phone, an hour.
We're good.
Okay, for those on the phone, we are going to be putting these phones on mute while they're in executive session.
For about
Thank
an
you.
Hour.
Hopefully it's about an hour. We'll leave it at hope.
You want to guys remember that and not come back?
You are on the record.
Thank you. Welcome back, everybody. I'll advise the board had not taken any formal action on matters discussed while we're in executive session. Under the agenda, going back to the agenda, we're up next up on item number D, the Interior Energy Project update. John?
And on item 7B, I'd like to ask Jim Terrio and his team to present.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just on the standard IEP update, I will just tick down through the items that I have previously. On the gas supply, we finally have closed a deal on a new gas supply contract. That was attached as one of the attachments to the proposed Hospital 105 plan. I will just highlight a number of items in that gas supply contract. The term runs for a three-year period of time, starts on April 1st, 2018, through March 31st of 2021. We certainly anticipated that the board would want to know that there is an adequate supply of gas to fuel the project and the expected expansion of the supply of LNG to the interior. This contract does that. The contract actually kicks in and cuts off 3 months of the existing contract. There's benefit to that because on January 1st of 2018...
Could we get Gene closer to the microphone so we can hear him?
That's about it. I'll speak louder. For the current gas contract, on January 1st of 2018, the price of gas was supposed to go up by 12%. By starting the new contract 3 months early, we're going to avoid that 4% increase in the cost of gas, so that is beneficial to the existing customers and to the future customers. The new contract also offers a great deal of volume flexibility. We do anticipate, of course, signing up new customers, but we didn't want the project to have a whole lot of take-or-pay risk, and so the contract offers a lot of flexibility to grow that volume without actually committing to or signing up for take-or-pay risk ahead of the customers actually signing up. The contract during the term of the contract is a 3-year period. It has no price escalator. Again, the existing contract has had a 4% per year price escalator, and that's avoided for the next 3 years. It also removes a price differential for peak gas in the coldest part of the winter, and so now the supply of gas will be the set price going forward, again, over that 3-year period of time. The lack of the gas supply contract has been a holdup on the 105 plan for you to consider a 105 plan, so we're pleased that we currently have that executed contract in hand. On the trucking, we did take delivery of the additional larger capacity trailers, and FNG is currently putting them into the transportation mix. On the storage front, the board previously allowed for the expense of up to $1.5 million to pull the trigger to put out an RFP for the large storage increase in South Fairbanks. That RFP has been put out on the street. It has a close date of the end of October. Mr. Britton told me that he has already gotten a call from a number of vendors indicating that we're anticipating or hoping that there'll be a good deal of competition as people are sharpening their pencils to put in those bids. And then on distribution, other than trying to take advantage of putting pipe in the ground where there is active street, there are active street projects going on. There is no additional build out of the distribution system going on at this time. So, Mr. Chairman, that just kind of ticks down through the different components. All of that will be wrapped into the next quarterly report that will be due to the legislature within the first week to 10 days of October. And all of those items then are covered also in the Hospital 105 plan and the attachments that go along with the memo that you have in your packets today.
Okay, thank you. Questions from the board for Gene?
Yeah, but first question, Mr. Chair. This gas contract goes to March of 2021. When will the expanded plant and the storage be built and finished?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, to respond, the FNG came to the board to get that access to the capital dollars to the engineering work on the storage tank so that we could actually initiate that work. Having that larger capacity storage allows the existing plant to run more efficiently.
Right.
You're able to run it in the middle of the summer where you really don't have much demand and stockpile that. So that was the first thing we wanted to move forward on. Plus, we've got the deadline to get the storage into operation to be considered for a state repayment on it to cover part of that cost. And so Mr. Britton does hope to be doing the foundation work in February and March of 2018 that will allow that facility to actually be completed by the end of 2019. Then on the plant then, the sizing up the plant, there will be an additional feed process to put together materials on that to go up to a final investment decision. But ideally, you would time that plant to be producing a larger capacity shortly thereafter after the storage of containers available to hold the product.
Further questions? Gary?
Jean, would you please go to page 5 with the table at the top? There's 4 lines on that table that I think are important for the board to see. Would you walk across, starting with the first one, LNG production Titan plant, and I'd like you to just focus on the slope of that line and what creates that drastic slope.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this is on the House Bill 105 memo that Mr. Wilkin is referring to. So what we've got here on the Titan plant is the cost of the per unit cost of operating that plant. So there are a number of fixed costs, of course, that goes along with that infrastructure. As you ramp your volume up, those existing fixed costs, that's all of your personnel, basically go down. And so you're spreading those fixed costs over a larger volume. The volume that we have used to run these numbers were based on the Cardno refresh of the demand, potential demand growth in Fairbanks, and it counts on a 50% uptake or conversion rate going forward. And so that's what we're spreading those fixed costs over, that 50% customer conversion number.
Driven by demand, driven by conversions.
By conversions. And Mr. Wilkins, if you look up at the top, the very top line is anticipated demand. So we've actually looked at the volume, not necessarily number of customers, because a business customer might be worth 100 to 150 residential customers. We certainly want to get to residential customers, but we just want volume. And if it's a business customer, that's good. It's all about units of gas, primarily.
The same, and I would ask you to look at the column, the row that starts with distribution, and just note how the price starts at $4.76 and drops to $0.86, again, driven by demand. I just think it's really important for all of us to know that. And that's what MWH told us in about the second month of our discussions with them, that this thing is driven by demand. Okay, the third one. Just walk across, if you would please, the planned average customer rate.
Okay, and that is a projection of when we add this all up, you know, if we get to the 50% growth in demand that that Cardno had identified, then this is the expected utility rate from a combined utility that will be charged to the customer.
And the slope of that is down, and then as debt comes in, it comes up a little through 2027. So then go to equivalent fuel oil price to answer the question that everybody asks. Well, how's that compared to oil? Would you walk across that line, please?
Yes, and you can see that actually was a line that you and Chairman Cruz asked that we put into the graph. And for the other members, those two board members did ask for a number of things that would sort of help to clarify what's being shown in the graph. There is a conversion then of that expected price to the customer, that rate, converting that into fuel oil equivalent. The target in the community was to try and achieve a $2 equivalent. You can see that we get close, not quite there. And of course, it's all based on projections. A lot of things could happen. But that does indicate that there is $2.08 in 2024.
And my last question is on table, on page 6, table 3. Would you just go to percent of IEP target savings and just highlight that we achieve our goal in 2022?
Yes, and you can see there the IEP target savings is down at the bottom of that chart. There's one line there that with the storage credit and the repayment, so if we actually do get that assistance from the state that's beneficial to the project, a portion of that capital cost would be reimbursed. And you can see that when we cross over in 2021, we're at 95.4% of the target. As we go into 2022, we're at 107% of the target. So in between there, 21 and 22, is where we finally cross over. So it does indicate that, can you achieve the target for the community on day one? With our small number of customers, the small volume that we're currently delivering, no, that's not achievable. But it really does highlight this is a volume enterprise, and whatever we can do in conjunction with the local communities to help customers use this new cleaner fuel, you know, it helps the economics tremendously.
Thank you, Gene. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Gary. Any questions of Gene? All right, so we'll move on to item E, resolution G17-13, approving an HP 105 compliant project plan for the Chair Energy Project. John?
And that is the item before you to approve the HP 105 compliant project plan that's been discussed in the IEP update.
Any additional information you want to, before we put it on the table, that you want to address on the resolution?
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. On page 2 of the memo, we have inserted the language right from House Bill 105, so you can see the three things that we have to identify to the board as part of a plan. The memo then goes on to describe identifying the source of the gas, including an estimate of the cost of the project, so the major components of the project, and then include an estimated price of the delivery of the commodity to the community. And so that's why on the chart on top of page 5, we've got a subtotal cost to utilities. That does not include the storage and distribution because the House Bill 105 required very specifically what is the cost of the commodity as it's delivered into the community. So we did run a specific line there that is as the commodity becomes available to the utility itself. And so we believe the memo plus the four attachments provide all of the information that was required by 105, also 105 for you to consider as a plan for adoption.
So is it safe to say then, based on this little bullet point you gave us, that the four components add up to $157
million? Yes, Mr. Chairman, I think when I just added up the major cost components,
yes.
That's what it adds up to.
All right, thank you.
Well, any questions? So I'll ask for some of the motion.
Chairman, I would move G17-13.
Second. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman, could I?
Go ahead.
I wanted to make a couple of comments, and I've written them out for the record, just so I don't forget people. I'm going to start by saying that I'm counting noses, and so far I think this is unanimous. Well, if I'm incorrect, please forgive me. You should never do that. But I'm going to do it in this case. So I'd like to thank the ADA Board for their unanimous support. And with the indulgence of the Chair, I'd like to thank others as well. First, the legislature, who in 2013 responded to the energy crisis in Fairbanks and North Pole by setting in play $437 million in funds to bring natural gas to Fairbanks and North Pole. I thank them for their vision, their support, their generosity. And in 2015, for their renewed support through House Bill 105, which showed not only their patience, but also their faith that this project could be done. Thank you. Two, I want to recognize the staff at all levels who put forth their best efforts. This has not been an easy project. It has required multiple leaps of faith built on reliable information. This project has plowed new ground, and the tools for that effort have been supplied by a stellar team of ADA employees and valued consultants. Thank you to all of you for that. Three, I'd like to thank our elected leaders in Fairbanks and North Pole for their patience and their support, particularly our three mayors led by Mayor Castle, who followed on a very supportive Mayor Hopkins, and City of Fairbanks, Mayor Matherly, and North Pole Mayor Ward. They have been suitably critical, but have never wavered from seeing the IEP project through. Four, I'd like to thank the people of Fairbanks and North Pole, many who understand the benefits of natural gas have changed the conversation from, oh, I've heard that since 1953. Are we going to do that again? To a new response that I hear. So, when do I get my gas? When can I start to build? That's, today is not a question of if any longer. Today, with House Bill 105 being passed, it's a question of when. And lastly, to the board. You have been challenged by this project since July 1st of 2013. You've been asked to make decisions which under ordinary circumstances would be unheard of for a financing institution, as I look at them. But you have stayed the course. You recognize, as I do, this is not about today, but this is about tomorrow and many tomorrows to come. Today we take a major step in bringing low-cost clean energy to my friends and my neighbors. Today we bring generations of gas to interior Alaska. I know I share your pride in playing a part of this effort. I look forward to hearing those who stand on our shoulders and follow by following and saying, how did we ever do without it? Mr. Chair and the board, thank you.
Well, sir, Gary, thank you.
Further comments? So, we have a resolution on. I will call for the question. Corinne?
Mr. Wilkins?
Aye.
Chair Commissioner Faraday?
Aye.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Chair Commissioner Burnett?
Yes.
Ms. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Dick?
Yes.
Mr. Pruse?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I will repeat what Gary told the mayors yesterday, that with the passing of this resolution, we now have a project. Thanks. From theory to reality. I want to put that on the record. Next up is resolution number G17-14, approving amendment to a loan agreement with the IGU utilities.
Item 7F, resolution number G17-14, approves amending the loan agreement with the Interior Gas Utility to permit loan proceeds to be used for costs IGU incurred in working on the physical and business integration of IGU and FMG.
And just to refresh board members, as we took action previously to work with IGU on expenditures of funds to date, the board took action to provide capital grant dollars to cover some of IGU's gas supply costs. There was a request that integration costs work on physically integrating the utilities and integrating the business structure of the utilities also be covered. Previously, IGU had supplied us with invoices that totaled $326,995 for integration costs up through the first week in July. There was an indication that there would be some additional costs and that they would like to see an ability to cover those with the under their existing set plan. But based on the recommendation that we have from the Attorney General's office, you, the board, and ADA management were barred from considering a scope change until a 105 plan was in place. Now that the 105 plan is in place, again, we've got the previous receipts that were submitted to us, and there had been a previous indication of a willingness of the board to modify the scope to cover the $327,000, basically. And now IGU has supplied us with a budget of expenditures from this point through to the end of 2017 that includes an additional integration cost of $111,000. And then also they'd like to ask for consideration of to cover the RCA filing under integration, because the request to the RCA will be to actually allow the two service territories to be merged into one. They have put an estimated price on that work at $75,000. I'm not sure at this point whether that's based on just an average request to the RCA. Certainly, we would be justified in asking for some backup on that. I personally believe that it will be a fairly streamlined request to the RCA and approval. I believe the commission has been anticipating this for some time, but I certainly am not an expert at the cost of filings to the RCA. So the resolution that you have before you would allow ADA management to consider a scope change to the existing SETS loan. It is silent on a total dollar amount. Whether the board wanted to put a dollar amount in there or leave it to ADA management to negotiate, certainly any dollars beyond the 327 that were indicated to us before, certainly the board could do that or just leave it up to ADA management to work with IGU.
Well, Gene, the resolution is written right now, leaves it up to management.
I believe so. I think, although there's
yeah, through the chair, there's a placeholder for a dollar amount in the resolution.
But subject to that, putting some in there, it leaves it up to management. You don't put anything in there, right?
The way it's written.
I believe we would need to strike in section one the language so as to permit up to dollar amount blank in loan proceeds from that leave.
But as seen fit by the executive director.
I think just by striking that language would achieve the objective of leaving the discretion to management.
Write down the language so it's for the members. Questions for Gene from board members? Oh, no questions? All right. I'll ask for the resolution on the floor, please.
Chairman, I move G17-24. And I second it,
too. And what the proposed amendment is to strike up to dollar sign blank.
Plus the word in afterwards.
And in, you're right.
Right.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you. Thank you for reading this.
Chairman, I would move that section 1 be amended to strike the words.
Chair?
Up to dollar sign blank in.
And I'll second that. Amendment.
Thank you.
One proceeds to the amendment.
All right. No objection to the friendly amendment. So we have resolution G17 is amended. G17-14 is amended. So I will call for a roll call.
Mr. Wilkins.
Aye.
Deputy Commissioner Paraday.
Aye.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett.
Yes.
Ms. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Dick?
Yes.
Mr. Cruz?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. That concludes the business. Item number 8 is direct comments. John?
Loan dashboard and reports, development project matrices are available for your review. Continuing education calendar. Board members are interested in attending a course, please contact Sherry Severson. Calendar quarterly investment report is available for review in my office. And the next ADA board meeting is scheduled for Thursday, October 26, 2017, at ADA's office.
Now is this the first you've seen this?
Yeah.
Okay, so if there's a major problem or something, get back to Sherry, an issue. Board comments, item number 9. Gary?
Mr. Chairman, I wanted to, on our anticipated funding sheet that we get and pending applications that we get, I wonder if we could get, I read this and I say, what is it and where is it? I wonder if we could put two columns in there that just brief description of the project and where it is in the state of Alaska.
Okay.
Yeah, just, yeah, you know, rough warehouse, refinance, something just to give a sense of where it is and what it is. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. That's okay with the board. And the other is, I notice on our little record here of delinquencies, we haven't had delinquencies in 2016 nor 2017, so... Perhaps we should up our risk profile a little bit.
Make a little more money. Anyway, that obviously good news. Thank you.
Maybe a brewery.
A distillery. Brittany, Dan?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I got three things. First, I want to thank our Executive Director, John. I was able to see his presentation at the World Trade Council yesterday, a forum really on future infrastructure in Alaska. Ada was very well represented, and I want to thank John for his outstanding public outreach with support of Ada. And also, Mr. Chairman, I was asked to speak to an Anchorage Rotary Club next month on Ada, and I'll let John be aware of that, and might need to borrow a couple of your updated slides on that. Item number two has to do with the Audit Committee, Mr. Chairman, and as I reported in prior meetings, we are targeting a Audit Committee meeting in early November, in which staff will send out a draft of the audited financial statements to the three members of the committee. Three members of the committee will fully read the 68-page report and then participate probably on a conference call determined by Mr. Paraday so we can accomplish him or accommodate him into the meeting. So I just kind of wanted to brief you and your board as to that direction. And the whole goal is for at least three members of the board to fully understand the audit report before it comes to the full board in the December board meeting, as it has done in prior years. Right. So that was one of the goals of your audit committee.
Thank you.
So could I, so I've got 8th, 9th, and 10th here. Have we narrowed that down to
no.
a date certain or just... still hanging?
Not yet. I was kind okay. of waiting to get the feedback from everyone. And
that's fine. Expect one day deal.
And we're hoping that Mr. Paraday can, if you're listening, or provide us that input and try to narrow that down, target that down so it's on your sonar.
Probably expect maybe an hour.
Oh, the timing of that?
Depends on Mr. Paraday.
They may be a little longer than the 68 pages.
You know, that's
a
great.
Online.
Great.
Sure. What?
Yeah, we're just looking for your input, Mr. Chairman, on a time and a date for the November Audit Committee meeting. So.
I thought I had already given that. We'll go offline and we'll settle it today.
Great. Okay. Okay, maybe keep staff involved in that. And then the third item is I really appreciate the schedule getting out today. Thank you, John, and your team for providing that. And then I sent a note out to the board just as a suggestion to possibly meet at the Matsu Borough Assembly room in Palmer. But that's purely just a suggestion, whatever you and your board want to decide for a summer meeting. So it's kind of just an open invitation.
Yeah. We'll take that advice.
I was thinking that too.
What's that?
Yeah.
Are we staying here?
No.
He's going to invite us to the lodge.
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. He's working hard.
Okay, thank you.
Russellville.
Oh, put that in a minute.
Highlighted
on my bubble.
There you go. Further comments? Elaine, any comments?
I want to thank you for the hard work and the IEP bringing 105 as far as it's gotten in the last year and a half that I've been involved. This is incredible. So, congratulations.
So, Mr. Chair, I just, in addition to thanking the staff, I want to thank you for your efforts. I know you spent a lot of time on this, and without your leadership, it probably wouldn't have gotten done. So, thank you.
Jerry? Well, I want to thank everybody again today's staff for putting on a meeting. It's a
I'll note that we're only into it for 2 hours and 25 minutes.
Nice.
So we're just, that's nice for a change, and hopefully this, the meeting follow this will be on the same order of expediency. Mr. Chair.
No pressure, Russell.
Yeah.
Faster.
Yeah. And again, thanks to everybody and the patience for folks on the phone with our executive session. Get back to regular session. With that, I'll take a motion.
Second.
We are adjourned.
While we change meetings, the phones will be put on mute.